This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, morning, Mick.
Not that it's a bit bleak and dull out there.
Yeah, we use the word good figuratively.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Like we're alive in this cold, foggy morning.
Have to use the A word. Good ambience in the studio.
Yeah, indeed.
Very gothic.
Yeah, it does. Well,
where's Dracula?
got my work out of Chief's colours on for tonight. You never know. We might do it.
I'm just probably a little bit indifferent with it.
But it's been let's face it. A lot of people follow it, especially at the top end if you get there, and so it'll be quite a vibe in Hamilton tonight if we win, and it'll be like a ghost town if we don't.
it's
in Wellington because what do they call the Hurricanes are the top team and we're the second to top. So the two teams that are in the final, in my opinion, deserve to be there. They've had the better form.
Yeah, they have overall.
And the Aussies, sadly, like you were saying before, Craig, it'd be nice to see the Aussies were strong, and they started off all right, but they just fell away a bit.
It's in a raw stuff, you know?
Yeah. But it's not their major game, but they'll get there. I thought the Force was impressed me, and they were unlucky to lose as many as they did, actually.
I think they were building at the wrong time.
Yeah.
They were building at the back end of it instead of they should be building at the front end.
But if you look at a lot of their games, they're very close, but they're still lost.
I like the way that they play.
I did too.
Hard.
I'll take your word for it. It just goes over the top of my head.
Okay, so that's the rugby. We'll move on to soccer.
Who's been following it?
Do you call it soccer or football in England?
Football.
Who calls it soccer?
American.
Okay.
So also started to call it soccer because there's some rugby fans who insist that rugby is the proper game of football.
Association football, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Did it go along class? What's the beginnings between rugby and soccer? Football.
Well, most of those teams would have started off, both soccer, football teams of both codes. Yet some would have been company teams. Teams would be, the boss would organise a team and workers would join up on a Saturday game of football.
Against
another firm.
Or mine or something.
So someone started off as amateurs, but some eventually became professional.
And why is it the rugby?
Brentford, where I come from, I think they started in, they're one of the oldest. They were late 19th century.
Wow, okay.
You had a question there, you were saying. Yeah.
So why do the rugby players in England have a posh accent? Apart from the ones that have been imported from the islands.
Being born with a spoon in their mouth.
So where does that come from? Just from it was more of a game for the privileged? How did it work?
I don't know if it's true or not. There's a story that there was two teams playing and one guy picked up the ball and ran with it.
Yeah.
That's how rugby was started.
William Webb Ellis was his name, apparently, and he was from, there was this mass, whatever it is, that they play, a place called Rugby.
It was a public school.
Has that got anything to do with the Ellis thing in South Africa?
Okay. So that's where it all started, and there's a division in rugby too when it's split into two types, union and league.
Okay.
Yeah.
And isn't there a bit of a bastion of league over in the middle of Britain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, north of England.
Quite a strong following.
Yeah.
Working class.
One looks down on the other.
Okay.
Yeah,
rugby. They're not true to the code.
So rugby would be at the pinnacle of society.
Yeah.
And then.
But then over years, it was a game of privileged kids in private schools.
And then
amateur competitions.
Kicked in, so it's a bit more of a cross section.
The village lads would play against another village, you know, that sort of
thing. Yeah, rugby league was a professional sport.
Yeah.
They had to pay their players because some of the players that were playing rugby union from the north worked in the mines and they couldn't get time off work. Okay. So they needed to be recompensed. So this is where this whole thing started.
Hasn't one of the royal family, didn't she marry a rugby player?
Yeah, the daughter of Queen Anne, Princess Royal, which is called.
Okay. All right, so now we've got a bit of history on rugby, football and league. What do you think of the World Cup?
I was just saying to you guys before we came on air that it must have been a tense time in my brother's house because he's obviously going tilting for England and his wife is Croatian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there would have been a bit of...
Could have been a bit of tension, bit of space, but I'm sure they behaved amicably and sensibly. And
Well, English team looking good.
Well, Harry Kane got 2 goals,
eh? Yeah, a good start for them.
Yes, they've got to build on that, though. They can't rest on their laurels because England has a terrible habit of
falling.
They do get when they... Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then they sit back and coast.
And for our Australian friends, I'd just like to say sorry that you had to suck the snarler this morning. The Americans bet them 2-0.
But they did put an Aussie did put the ball in the net.
Ah, but it disallowed, didn't it?
No, it was an own goal.
I heard that. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, okay.
That's even worse. You just want a hole open up and just swallow you, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's been 2 games in a row that the Yanks have played that an own goals have been scored. Right.
However it does, as long as it's allowed, that's it.
It's a goal, but I just feel sorry for the person who's responsible because you just want to want a hole open up and just swallow you.
Yeah. I see the Kiwis, a good start, and they must be who they're playing next.
Egypt.
So that could be a different
ball game,
no pun intended.
Yeah, and I thought the Kiwi New Zealand versus Iran game it was a good, exciting game.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, I don't know what it means.
Felt sorry for the Iranians. They've had a tough time with the administration and having to travel and get stoppages and all that because of the American...
All designed to put them off their game, I'm sure.
Well, America... Well, let's face it. How long have they been fighting been holding a grudge on Cuba? So Iran's probably...
59.
Yeah, so 59 years. So
So
they could do the same with Iran. They've still...
But
So it's credit to the Iranians. They got up and at least managed to get a draw.
Yeah, which under I thought,
circumstances
of
travel and bureaucracy against them. So anyway, keeps going on. When are we playing next?
When do we play?
Yeah, we must be playing. Who are we playing?
Egypt in Vancouver, I think.
When? Soon?
Monday their time? Monday our time.
Okay, so that's a little way away. Okay. All right. That's our sporting update from Free Left Turn. How many socialists are playing in the soccer, do we know? Probably not many,
no. But a lot of them are from, a number of them from former socialist nations.
Yeah. Mm. But most of them, let's face it, I was going to try and find out, which I forgot. But most of them will be professional players, probably even from the poorer countries, I would say. Because just because you're playing for Nigeria or the Congo doesn't mean you're not a professional player in Europe or somewhere else.
Or South America,
So do the likes of Russia and China and North Korea play, or they didn't qualify?
Russia's been sanctioned, I think, so they can't play.
Russia's not.
Chinese didn't qualify?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
Mm, we got an audience out there doing a tour.
They didn't qualify. Right.
And they got a snitch on them. Israel's allowed to play, but they didn't qualify. But of course, Russia's been the bad guy.
They didn't qualify, but they're allowed to play.
Well, I mean, they're eligible to be in the World Cup.
Competitions that lead up to the World Cup. Yeah,
but they didn't qualify, so they're not there.
Yeah, so big bad Russia, of course, is not allowed.
Thank you very much.
But imagine the booing if Israel had actually got through.
It would have been a mixed bag, I think.
Depends where it was played.
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe New York, but
up in Vancouver, maybe, or down in Mexico, they might have got a bad response.
But I imagine that
in America it would have been rah rah rah.
Well, it could have well been, yeah.
Iran and Iraq are there, and Jordan are also there at the World Cup. And Turkey,
So for a brief spell, focuses on football.
It's a distraction, of course.
Until it finishes sometime in July.
It goes a while, doesn't it?
The longest, largest World Cup in history.
How many billions are involved? It must be
huge. You got 48 teams. Yeah. Probably the majority of them are professional. And some of them have been paid X amount of dollars to, transfer.
I know the Mexicans aren't happy about it because they got the scrapings from what was on offer as far as venues,
Let me think, is that a surprise?
No, not really.
Not with that.
They feel begrudged that they didn't get their share of the potential take. Far as hosting games.
Yeah, it probably went into the pocket of Infantino, didn't it?
He's a
greasy hooer, that one.
Anyway, it's an entertainment. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the other thing on what I was impressed with is the New York Knicks. And they won after 53 years. Yeah. But I watched they had a ticker parade for the team and all that on Thursday. It was huge. And then Mum Dani gave a speech. Boy, crikey, it was an inspection. He obviously has followed... all the way through, because he just named all the history of it and everything else. So he even practiced a lot. He's shining. The mayor of New York, he's just shining.
Games always work as a distraction. The Romans used to use it. Times of stripe, throw the games on for four days of carnage.
Oh, of course, of course. Same thing here. Yeah.
Not Berlin, 1936. Yep.
Distract. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And to sell a pitch. But, New York, it's got... And, of course, New York's hosting football games also during the World Cup. He certainly knows how to... He's a great orator, and he takes the people with them when he's got that knack of doing it. So he's got some detractors, and he's a socialist democrat.
But he engages with his audience.
And he engages with the opposition.
Unlike a certain politician in the UK who shall remain nameless.
He's got the
charisma of a beer mat.
By-election.
Andy Burnham.
And he cleaned up. He got he increased Labour's vote from the last election.
Yeah.
So
I think doesn't Keir Starmer look silly now?
Well, yeah, but
Burnham was frozen out, wasn't he?
Yeah, been frozen out from the last one he wanted to stand for, which the Greens won.
So Starmer must be looking really stupid now.
Well, the dilemma for Starmer reckons he's not going anywhere.
They all go through that death throes of I'm going to stay here and fight every inch, blah blah blah. Yeah.
But the Labour machine will be looking at. Burnham didn't just get in.
They'll be looking at the long game.
He didn't just get in. He increased Labour's share of the vote.
We'll
carry some weight, and they know that Starmer is a poison chalice. So whether you'll see the light or whether they'll go through to a leadership challenge.
Of course, that I immediately start thinking, is it going to make any real difference to the people on the street who desperately want Labour to be Labour as it used to be?
Well, as Andy Burnham, where does he stand on the political spectrum in the left? I don't think he's known for his hard left policy beliefs or anything.
Gaza and
He was a friend of Labour, friend of Israel. Where he still was not in the party, so he was not an MP. But where does he stand on all that? Time will tell. But there's definitely, I think, for the positives from a left wing perspective, the positive is that Reform didn't do very well, and we still got a little bit, which are both right wing race based parties, for want of a better word. So the people are still hoping Labour finds its roots.
Desperate.
And they voted for it. So that's a kick in the teeth for Reform.
Yeah, lots of people in the UK just want the country up and running again, and as it could be a lot better.
Yeah. And so I thought that was a huge... That's a huge, what do you call it, strong for Labor, or strong for Andy Burnham, but if Labor figure it out in time, it's certainly, it almost what do you call it, kneecaps reform, because I don't know if they'll recover from it. If Labor has it, this guy gets the chance as the new leader, which becomes Prime Minister automatically. If he wins the leadership competition, if he stands and they have one, You don't have to go to the people to be voted as Prime Minister. You just it, which has there's things wrong with that in itself.
Are there any more by-elections coming up, or is that it?
No, there'll be some more, and there was two other by-elections up in Scotland.
They labelled reform might be licking their wounds, but they haven't gone away.
They haven't gone away, but this could potentially hurt them, because if Burnham gets on a roll and he becomes Prime Minister, and he
depending on how he engages with the population, and depending on what sort of policies he's going to try and implement.
Yeah, and I say that obviously the Labour spark hasn't died, because otherwise reform would have just walked away.
But it's in danger of being snuffed out if it's not careful.
Well, and this is what I think people are saying, look, we've got to change Starmer.
This is a recipe for disaster.
But we'll still back Labour, but you've got to get rid of your leader. Yeah. And so... You'll see.
So he might have to fall on his sword.
Well, he reckons he's not, but that's
figuratively
early days.
Or literally.
figuratively.
Yeah, it didn't help him.
I don't want to be accused of inciting violence.
It didn't help Starmer that, you know, they say he's quite a good administrator and all that. No, you don't.
He didn't help himself.
You don't say, well, it's okay to starve women and children to for Israel and all that.
But
to start. You know, he's still known as Kid Starver.
But
you
couldn't engage with his audience. I mean, I sort of give him a speech, he's reading off a cue board.
And
a
you can only.
And so he's not actually engaged, he's not carrying.
And how many times, you only need to hear that he was the son of a toolmaker.
Oh.
How many?
He was the son of a toolmaker, one of those in Brazil.
It gets a bit sickening.
It's like Rachel Reeves always banging on about how she's an economist. No, she wasn't an economist. She worked in the Department of Economy in a university.
Yeah. But, you know, Burnham's, his career has been politics.
So he's a career politician.
Because he was a mayor, wasn't he? He was a mayor.
Yeah, and he was the mayor of Birmingham, and obviously quite popular. He's re-elected three times.
Yeah, so he must be doing the right things.
Yeah, and that probably also carried weight.
People would think, oh, he did a good job in Birmingham. Maybe he could do a good job
leading the country. I think that a lot of that. So it's definitely a spark
for Labour. I'd love to see him, if he does become leader and he gets to go to one of these international conferences and has to cope with Trump.
It'll be interesting how he if he becomes Prime Minister, what he'll do with Israel, of course, the poison chalice, and because I think the Labour voters, if Labour doesn't change direction and Burnham turns out to be a dud or another Tory light, then they'll go, nah. And then the likes of reform or even restore will just rise again, because I say nah. And the Greens may pick up from it too, because the Greens have picked up votes from Labour. But interesting times.
Interesting.
Comes at the cost. There's lots of people struggling. Well, there's people struggling in this country, but there's lots of people struggling in the UK.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And there's a few that are not. Yeah. Which seems to be the old capitalism
which is
model,
similar
isn't
to
it?
What's going on?
If you're doing all right, life's wonderful, and if you're not, you know,
it's terrible. Hear those stories.
Yeah, it wasn't just picking the crumbs off the table. They seem to have lowered the table, so you can't even get your head under to get the crumbs.
No, they're taking the legs out.
Well, the
other thing was, of course, we had the MOU that was signed this week.
Oh yeah, big stuff.
The memorandum of understanding. I had to try and explain to some people, oh, it's all over now, they've signed a treaty. I said, no, they haven't signed a treaty. They've agreed to this is a precursor to negotiations on agreed topics. It is not a treaty.
Let's hope that and the Israelis aren't here.
Spewing.
But let's hope they don't do a dirty and bloody bomb the negotiators or anything else.
There's some Republicans who are not happy with what result of this memorandum, and there's obviously the Israelis aren't happy with this, so they will do their utmost to undermine any hope of a negotiated treaty.
There's a lot of money in giving bombs to Israel and Ukraine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that... it's a positive, but they've obviously got to build on it.
Have you got it there? Have you, Craig?
Yeah, what the points are. Yeah.
Because the whole world has suffered from this.
So basically, it's an agreement to start negotiations.
What did you say? Memorandum of understanding.
And then negotiate, but they've sort of set the points, the frame of
certain topics
to be discussed.
To be discussed.
Yeah, and there is
because Iran has paid a terrible price. You sort of see in the parts of the world where Iran's won.
But they've stalled it.
But let's say they're the ones who've suffered the real deaths and destruction.
Yeah, they've suffered an awful lot. They've on the diplomatic front, and they've run rings round.
Even though they've had their top, as Trump keeps saying, we took out their top leadership, etc.
Reason you had a regime change was you took out the first.
They murdered they murdered them.
Yes.
Because Iran wasn't at war with them. They murdered the Ayatollah.
It was a literal regime change. So they've run. I don't support the Iranian government, but I have to say that they've run rings around.
What the critics in the United States have said is that what they've actually really done is entrenched the authoritarian or theocratic government. Yeah.
Well, if you've been picked and if you suddenly lost family members, etc., in the end you're going to support the people that are trying to stand up.
And it's brought people in Iran together who were against the government, but because of the outside threat.
Exactly.
Pulled them all, and I said, why would the Iranians trust the Americans or the Israelis?
Yeah, how many, and that's the thing. Why would you trust these people?
Because you could sign a treaty and then they could renege on it.
Easily.
Just and let's face it.
And they did. The previous treaty between Iran and the United States on nuclear arms.
Decided to attack them again. Let's face it. Iran has the one isn't the aggressor here.
No, what they're miffed about is that Iran's been backing the likes of Hezbollah. And how dare they have proxies in other countries, but don't Americans, Israelis have proxies in other countries as well?
Exactly.
Sniff all around Latin America, around the Middle East, sniff all around Africa.
That's not getting mentioned. The press are really lazy. They don't pick it. They don't make the comparison. Well, hang on. Iran might be guilty of having proxies in Lebanon, but America also got proxies in other parts of the world.
And they're quite nasty proxies as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But no mention. The media don't go.
So it's like, for me we can do this, but for thee, no, that's terrible,
And the other thing was a sad indictment, was that the UN Security Council, UN body that looks at, it's been looking at infant mortality rates in conflict zones.
Yeah.
And for up until recently, it's thought that it was paramilitary groups that were responsible for the high mortality rates in infants. It turns out it isn't. They've now decided it's down to governments who are responsible for the high mortality rates. And guess who comes up number one?
Place called Gaza?
Israel.
Israel. That's what I mean. Gaza's the victim, Israel's the aggressor.
Three times the average impact in other war zones. Yeah. Three times.
There was a similar report, and I should have dug it out, and it was about actually casualties, civilian casualties, and the Ukraine-Russia war was 3.6% of deaths.
Yeah.
And somewhere over in Israel, the Gaza and the Palestinians are 66%. You know? Different types of war. You know, one is, and as Trump's pointed out, about Israel saying, look, it's not okay to
take
out a building with 100 people in it to get one or two, which Israel did all the time.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, they've done it in Lebanon as well.
Yeah, of course they have.
So, sad indictment.
Yeah, it's not, in the end, this is not helping Israel. They might still be on top of the world, etc. as far, but it's the politicians that are covering them.
Us. They don't like us. They play the victim card. You're not a victim. You're a perpetrator, and you're being governed by nasty people.
And sooner or later they've got to figure out why they're the most hated country in the world.
But the problem they've got, they created themselves.
Of course.
1948. If they had negotiated in good faith, they could have avoided all this.
Yeah.
But they were nasty before that, though. Their criminal gangs made sure of that.
It's a known goal. Go back to football. Israel's done this to themselves.
Yeah. No media will say that.
No.
No.
Well, some on
some
the fringes.
Might allude to it.
And Trump.
The mainstream will stay away from it. There'll be individuals who make that comment, but a lot of the mainstream just don't want to go there. Just
well, who owns mainstream?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know who. Yeah.
You know, lot of it. So editorial, you know, and it's not just forget about Israel and all that. Just who owns the newspapers is often austere. The Herald, how does that come across? You know, is there a slant by from its ownership?
Yeah, patch over one eye.
And we saw that in the Ukraine Russia reporting too. We saw lots of slanted reporting. Without verification checking or anything else, they just report it. You know,
So I'm hoping that they can build on this and a genuine negotiated settlement can be.
Well, I think we all do. And we can't
the whole world needs this to be resolved.
We can't get the lives of those little kiddies that were bombed by America back. And Israel, and let's hope Lebanon, because I say, Gaza's been devastated.
Lebanon's been hammered
as well. Lebanon. And that's, another tragedy. And will Israel go back to where it comes from as far as its borders, or will it say, this is our new part of a greater Israel? Because I think they're thinking as well, Hezbollah has that sort of border with Israel. If the Israelis take that piece of land and control it, and what do you call it when you flush the people out, purge them out, and don't let them back in, then Lebanon itself, which is made up of other political entities and all that, they go, well, there's no room for these Shiite Muslims, etc., and they'll dissipate or have to suck it up inside Greater Lebanon.
Yeah.
Of course, the other thing was that would Trump pushed this current agreement if it wasn't for the looming midterm elections coming up?
Yeah, well, that's got a big player, right?
That's another factor that some individuals have been commenting on, and plus his popularity is like 30%.
Yeah, and although he's got quite
he's still got his base. Yeah. But his popularity is taking a hammering.
And the media, like, let's face it, you hear that Trump supported candidates, a lot of them, some haven't got back in, but most have, or he's supported, they've got the nod. Mm. But that's only the primary stage, so that's the internal part of each party. Mm-hmm. Once you go to the actual election, you've got Democrats, Republicans, and you've got independents. Mm,
yeah.
And that's where the popularity was. Where will those independents go, etc.? And Trump's won them the last couple of times, but I don't think he will this time.
Yeah, because people are paying through their nose in their pocket for groceries and gasoline and
everything.
Dare I say it, though, if, heaven forbid, if the USA win the football...
Oh, no.
...and they get this euphoric... USA, USA.
Something in every way.
He could slide back in, literally, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I have to offer up a silent prayer to a chosen deity to scupper their chances.
Yeah, but you know how it works. When countries win and all this, the All Blacks doing it wrong.
They're immortal. They can do whatever they like.
Well, Trump's not so bad because, we won the soccer. No, a lot of people aren't political. No, we're interested in it.
Politics is involved in everything,
including football, including rugby, including.
I remember when I was during the Springbok thing, when the tours are coming over here, and I said, "But politics are involved. Politics shouldn't be involved." I said, "Politics are involved in everything. That's where we get the word discourse from is politics.
Is that also
exchange of ideas?
Well, politics is involved in families.
Yes,
you know,
the idea of exchanging ideas
and tiptoeing around some issues and all that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're also talking about bags of money as well, involved in these sorts of things.
Yeah.
I always, going back to the soccer again, I always thought that the 1978 Soccer World Cup in Argentina was a little bit fishy because going into the final, probably the best team that was there was the Netherlands, and they lost. And I always thought, well, that sounds a little bit...
Was that the same competition where a certain person... called on the hand.
Mexico.
That
was
previous, was it?
No, that
was
Diego
Maradona,
wasn't it?
Diego Maradona.
That was after.
Yeah,
but it was Mexico. 86,
I think.
Yeah, the hand of God. There's always going to be controversy, but so far, we're talking about football, we're a bit addicted by it, but that I've been impressed with the refereeing. They haven't let it delay. You know, and when you used to watch football matches, that door, someone would be hurt down one end, yeah. and three people would fall over the other end.
I really hope they've got the AI working properly.
Yeah,
there was a game in the UK sometime, and it came down to the virtual referee.
Yeah,
and it was a huge glitch, and it was an absolute cluster of embarrassing mistakes. I hope they've got the AI sorted out.
But so far, I think generally they've picked it up.
Sometimes the games used to get bogged down. Or we're waiting for a decision, and the referee's waiting for someone off the pitch to say yes, no,
maybe.
Well, they can get like a game of rugby. Some of the rugby games are awful to watch because they're delayed.
Grind to a halt.
Yeah.
Get the momentum up, you know, fast.
Yeah. So, sorry, but bring it back.
Anyway, I hope people enjoy the games for it.
We'll try and bring you a left wing perspective of the football next week. there must be someone out there.
Well, yeah, but you probably won't be high profile.
Anyway, going back to what you were talking about, there are 14 points to this.
Mm. Oh, this is the
MOU.
MOU. But within the MOU, it doesn't mention the Zionist state by name, which is good. But although the point one is immediate and permanent termination of military operations on all fronts, including in Lebanon. So that infers that's been pointed at the Zionist state.
But of course it doesn't mention that the Israelis should go back to their border.
Well, that's what they should damn well should.
Well, we all know that, but of course...
Whether they will or not.
And then the Hezbollah people who are defending their land...
We'll
have a go at them, and then Israel use that excuse to blow a few more buildings up.
So, because weren't the UN operating in southern Lebanon?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
but what happened to them?
Well, they withdrew, of course, too dangerous. And they lost several soldiers.
Yeah, because some of their installations have been attacked, bombed by Israelis.
Israelis, I think, see everyone as an enemy. And they'll turn on America. If America did turn on them, America would be the enemy as well.
They'll just turn off the tap, won't they? Yeah, the US will just turn off the tap.
Yeah, which wouldn't affect them initially.
But it would do eventually.
But eventually, and then... it's not the tap. Militarily, Israel could probably... they've got money, so they can buy stuff for a while. But if America turned off the tap diplomatically at the UN and suddenly the UN ordered sanctions and all this, that would have a huge effect, you know?
That would be a great day.
Yeah, it would be. That would really affect some change.
Major change.
Begrudgingly, but it would affect change. Mm. Yeah. Boycotts and all that have an effect, you know. And you imagine being an Israeli tourist in New Zealand, and suddenly you're not, you know, instead of, you know, all welcome, it's like, sorry, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
You know, your country's had done a genocide.
Yeah, some countries got that in place already.
Yeah, some have thought up.
Well, you and I have noticed when we go down to the corner on Saturdays, once upon a time, you guaranteed that an Israeli supporter would turn up on the other side, waving a flag, which they're allowed to, it's a democracy, but.
Yeah.
I've noticed that the silence or their visibility is obvious by their absence.
Mm. It's just
they've been really, really marked.
And there was a nasty incident over in Raglan.
A couple of months ago.
Firing a riot, which is Raglan. They've got a little Palestinian support group. Mm. And we did quite a big campaign over there during the World Surfing League, just to remind them about the Palestinian situation, etc., which it was very successful. But before that, they had a rally and a couple, they were actually from Hamilton over here this way. They went over to support the group over there, which some of us do when we can. And some guy apparently came up to them and, first of all, he wanted them to fly an Israeli flag and they declined, etc. And then they came back from the rally and one of their tyres was flat. And didn't think much of it, but they thought it was suspicious. But anyway, and then apparently they drove back to Hamilton. And there, the next morning, the other tyre was flat.
Sure.
And then looked at it and it had been slashed. But anyway, someone actually went and they thought about the sky with that. They thought, well, the sky was in the end quite hostile to what they were doing. And someone went and actually found some CCTV footage.
So they got him on camera.
And they got him on camera. And the end story is basically they've been, you know, apparently he's fronted up some money and all that.
Pay for the damage. That.
But they took it to the police, of course, which they should, because this is criminal and potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
You slash a tyre when someone's travelling, and you're going 100k around a bend, and you know.
So it's criminal rather than.
Well, yeah, but anyway, the bottom line is the police decided the guy paid some compensation to them, etc. So the police backed off. But and this is where the story gets in. Meanwhile, down in Christchurch, six pro-Palestinian supporters have been booked for putting stickers up on a shop window.
Right.
And they haven't dropped them.
There's a big difference between stickers on walls and slashing someone's
tie. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and so anyway, so that PSNA screamed about this, and PSNA is Palestine Solidarity Network. And the cops did review it, but still stuck with their decision, because I guess they thought, well, the compensation's been paid. But there's this two standards things, and John Mintis, and he rightfully, I think he said it, he said, if this was two Jewish women who had had their tyres slashed by a pro-Palestinian person, how big a news would that have made?
Been a hue and cry.
And would the cops said, oh, no, they can just have that?
Yeah. No.
You wonder.
But didn't John Mintis win his case against the cops of that pepper spraying stuff?
Yes, he did. He just won. And forget that. So this is the story. So in the end, that's where it lies. Yeah. I think PSNA has gone to an even higher authority, but that's where it lies. And, okay, the guy has been shamed because he's had his photo spread around and he had his he was stupid enough to have his a business name on a car, you know, in the photo. That's not a good look for your business, you know what I mean?
It's an own goal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an own goal going back to football. So that's where it sits. But it was frightening for these people, these women.
So what you alluded to, weren't they involved in the Supreme Court and had it, John Mentor brought a case?
That case where it sits at present. So that was put, and quite a worrying incident because it
was a risk to life.
Yeah. And then just recently, John Mintis, they had a protest, I think it was last year or somewhere, and they got roughed up a bit by the cops, and then they got pepper sprayed, and they didn't give any aid to John Mintis because he's always the target because he's a lifelong upstander of civil rights, etc. And so just the courts just found the police, or whoever did the judgment, I forget, but whoever did the judgment said no, the police should have done better. And he's been given some compensation.
But what you're kind of alluding to is a double standards within our policing over certain things.
And the police have to be very careful of that. Mm. But and
obviously John, not careful enough.
And John Mintis says, how you always tell if something's fair or not, just put it, turn it the other way around. Switch them over and say, if these were Jewish people and that happened to, what would you do?
It does seem to be a double standard.
I
think it's overseas as well.
I guess people are nervous of having a go at anything to do with Israel or the word Jew or anything else.
I don't know
why
they're nervous.
No. Well, there's still remnants of the Holocaust and
the Crusades.
And the Crusades. The Crusades are still in there. Yeah. And the word Muslim still lingers, And it is messy, but it doesn't mean it's,
most of us who go to these corners, it's about the humanitarian.
Of course,
it's not about this side is better than that side.
Stop the killing, and negotiating
good faith, and you can. This might go away.
Yeah.
It might be better for all.
That's been sort of big stuff going on inside the Palestinian cause.
But also linked to it is something that I saw on Stuff. And you remember the global flotilla that was intercepted in international waters and the people were dragged off to Zionist land. Yep. There was a gentleman called Hahona Ormsby, and he was one of the, I think there were three Kiwi members of the flotilla.
Yeah.
And he made comments, and I've seen them before, that he was assaulted in custody, including a boot in the privates.
Yeah.
And he also was spat on by Ben Gavir.
Yeah.
And just recently there was a Foreign Affairs Select Committee involving our so-called Foreign Affairs Minister. And he said, his comments were, there was no evidence of brutality.
Yeah. well, where do they get the bruises from? Where did they get the marks
and
from?
And who did he listen to and who did he didn't listen to?
I think he probably,
and they have footage of these people coming off planes directly from, I think they went via Turkey or wherever.
Yeah.
But these guys are bruised. So are they trying to say to people, well, these guys just got bruised from falling over the stairs, which is a classic one?
Resisting arrest.
And don't forget...
And this was in the international waters.
And sadly, a lot of the IDF and the... They're young and they're quite indoctrinated. If you've grown up, you imagine whatever the subject and whatever the people are, if you've grown up with an ideology that someone else is bad or terrorists or want to kill us, etc.,
you're going to believe it.
Your professionalism as a soldier or as an enforcement officer, if you've got this underlying prejudice, you know, and your boss, your sergeant or your next one up or the six layers up provide cover, and then you think, well, I can rough them up because no one's going to say anything. And we've seen that, tragically, by people being killed. Journalists, et cetera, have been targeted. And it's sort of, oh, we do inquiry, oh, that was a mistake, oh, never mind, nothing happens.
Nothing happens, no.
So,
but there was evidence, and it was a video that was released that showed what Gevier got up to.
Right. Yeah, it was.
It caused a stink.
And he himself published it because he was showing his supporters
how he was sorting them out. And Yahoo told him this is not a
good look for Israel. Well, Israel has done a lot of things not a good look for Israel.
Yeah, and they've done it for years.
So he's been reprimanded not for the right reasons. He's being reprimanded because it's not a good look for us.
If you're going to do it off camera,
just
right?
Just be more discreet.
Well,
they've been telling soldiers not to keep filming themselves doing all sorts of...
Which goes back to the indoctrination.
Yeah.
When you show that you're doing it,
vulnerable.
You've got a support base.
Yeah.
So anyway, Israel is losing the PR war in a big way.
Good.
But that is interesting because we can bring ourselves, because we mentioned Peters, to the next point of the week. And our so-called mining person.
Mining the public purse.
Yeah, mining the public purse. Shane Jones, or his nickname, Fokahihi Jones.
Yeah, or Wakanui Jones.
So what's he been up to?
Oh, I think this goes back a little while.
It was last year.
Yeah, and it's to do with a mining trip, I think it was, conference in Toronto.
Right.
And he had ordered a limousine.
Well, it goes back. He's the Minister of Mines or whatever he is over here. And so a legitimate reason to go over to this mining conference in one way, because I think they all rub each other's shoulders, so to speak, and so
whatever else,
that's right. I've just got the image in my mind. Okay, Joan Jones.
I just never want to get that. I'll never be able to remove it from my memory.
But anyway, they decided that New Zealand would send the minister over there, and there was a budget for it, and it was $33,000 something like that. And he could get travel business class.
And it was all perfectly legit.
I think it was higher-end economy class or whatever, which is fine. He's a minister. That's fine. And then he went there. So that was the budget. And he took someone with him. So I imagine it was an aide or secretary or...
Flunky, probably.
I didn't say that, folks. We don't know what the reason was, but anyway, there was two of them.
It could be anyone.
It could be his wife. I don't know. You're allowed to do as a minister, but then it goes over there, goes to the conference, it started up, and they upgraded the flights, so the flights went up 10 grand or something or whatever, and then he decided he needed a limousine on call for much of the time he was there.
Right.
Okay, and so it ended up, and from 33 went up to about 65 grand. Is that about right? And then they interview him in Parliament yesterday or the day before, and it's like, well, I wasn't. And basically, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, it was like, well, nothing to do with me. It was to do with the people who booked it and all this.
Sorry, mother,
but but he's got a bit of a penchant for being the big man.
Yeah.
You know, as we saw with his penchant for other stuff he's done in his career.
Would New Zealand Diplomatic Service go with him?
I don't know who.
Or would the Canadians
provide it?
That protection spot here,
I wonder who foots the bill.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. But anyway, this has hurt New Zealand First, because New Zealand First was riding close to the sun.
Yeah.
But we talked about it last week here. Some other minister who was... who decided to park a car in the daytime parking.
Claiming she was saving taxpayers' money.
Yeah, even though because she didn't want to. It sounds like she didn't want to walk from the long-term parking to the short-term parking. So the taxpayer picked up that.
Yeah, we know that one. Yeah.
So this is, we talked about that article from Thomas Coughlin about pigs in the trough.
I've got a good one too. I think this political correct stuff that I get emailed to me, this is quite a good one from Quote of the Week. And we know, because this is an aside, because you talked about the that project within immigration around, I think it was imaging or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it was a big farce.
Yeah.
And what came out of that was that Winston Peebles said, these people should be thrown in jail sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, saw that.
Yeah, but Chris Hipkins' response to the Jones expenses was that Winston Peebles was talking about throwing people in jail for putting out misleading information yesterday. So that's the bureaucrats in the immigration department. Yeah. So does that mean Shane Jones is on his way to the clink?
Well, Shane, he's trying to say, nothing to do with me, but, hard to believe. But it just gives a sense. They're wanting the poor to pay the price for everything.
And at the same time, tighten the belts.
Yeah, tighten the belts, pay more, and that's an argument. But then they're quite still got the snout in the trough.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's that sense of, there's this belief that you're a better human being, so you deserve better, you know? It's pretty awful.
Craig Lidge, Department of Immigration, not always happy in the Department of Immigration.
No.
Allegations, I think she, Erica Stanford, used the phrase creative accounting.
I bet you,
over a seven-year period, I thought, coincidental, or is she alluding to the previous government?
Well, I imagine you could go through a lot of government departments. There'd be quite a lot of
that word creative
under-reporting and sideways reporting, and where can we bury this? You know,
IT grades were never eventuated. $30 million. It's taxpayers' money. This is the management consultant Greg James. He must have been in charge of the inquiry. One government minister was misled. Staff claimed creative accounting was used to keep costs below levels that would attract cabinet scrutiny, etc.
That would have the furnished reports, regular reports on these sorts of things.
Yeah, but it depends who puts it under expense.
Creative accounting, you can doctor the document, no pun. Mm-hmm. So you can slant it to give the impression that you want, rather than should be an accurate account of government.
But this hurts us socialists. Anyone who believes in good, strong government, this hurts us because
undermined.
Because the powers on the far right go, see, told you we need minimal government. They can't run a duck in a bathtub.
But we can argue against them anyway.
We want a strong, efficient civil service.
But it feeds into their slant.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah.
Because they're not doing it altruistically, and they just want to minimise government because they don't want any controls over their lives.
Yeah. But we've seen the evidence of what minimum government will do with cutbacks to bureaucracy, processes are delayed. People are moaning about when their benefit applications are being processed and that sort of stuff.
So there must be some very red faces in the Ministry of Immigration.
And maybe
rightly so.
If you're cooking the books, whatever, and people do it in private things too, you know. Yeah. We can't just say how many self-employed people put something that expense down as something
who's
else.
Completely honest.
And we're probably all at fault there. I think I took a couple of stones from the side of the road the other day.
Ooh, ouch!
From my under my fijara tree.
I took an expedient.
Should be in the slammer for 14 years for that.
I pinched an expedient.
Well, I hope they put me in a quarry so I can gather some more stones.
See, he's a recidivist. I
have an addiction towards round, smooth stones, but yeah, that's all right.
We're not Shane Jones got a fetish about that.
I wonder if he's got over that. I wonder if, because the accommodation was expensive, so I wonder if that was thrown in for free.
Was he the one who got caught out of that porno stuff as well, some years ago?
And who cares if he's watching porn, but he booked it up to the state.
That's a problem.
That's the problem.
I've got another quote here, and it came from Damien O'Connor. Some might say they have to up their level of donations to political parties. Why did he say that? Damien O'Connor cheekily suggested one reason Defence Force staff and veterans aren't getting as many honours as they used to in the Defence Estimate Review. New Zealand has a long history of political donors happening to show up on honours lists. Bit of a dig. That's just an aside.
How are we doing for time?
Oh,
still got 2 minutes.
All right. This was in the Herald on Tuesday. Labour's big gift still not enough. This refers to political donations to parties, and National Act New Zealand First have amassed an election war chest of nearly 2.6 million, while the three parties on Parliament's opposition have just 584,000.
Yeah, just shows you money in politics. Yeah.
Because everything over 20 grand has to be declared in the open.
Yeah.
But
I think that level should drop, to be frank.
Yeah. You just need five people all to agree to give 10 grand each.
And opposition, it was Labour's total was 401,000 out of that 558.
Yeah.
So the party minority and Greens got even less.
Oh, yeah.
A
lot of the smaller parties, you know, you have you get your MPs, but a lot of them have to tithe. It's sort of compulsory, so it's not. Yeah, is the tithe Greens, compulsory? I think even Labour, you know, they're all meant to put money back into the party coffers. Yeah. I don't know what level.
So not a good look, is it? New Zealand First sitting on half a million.
How much?
Half a million.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it just this year? Because we've heard other stories about donations being a lot higher.
This is when's from what period?
Yeah.
It says here the single largest donation of election year so far.
Oh, this year. Yeah. So election. We talked about last year.
Yeah, the beginning of.
Yeah, but they've got National had a huge war chest apparently over the 3 years.
Yeah, like status quo politics.
Okay. Yeah. I think you mentioned this guy, Zaru. Zaru co-founder Nick Mowbray, Van Den Brink, Karaka, and GMP Environmental.
Oh, yeah.
Subsidy. Yeah, they've made donations, which they're entitled to. National's in second place with 727 grand. But, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. The likes of Philip Mills, director of the Les Mill, Jim Empire, he donated.
He did.
Labour, 100 grand, and both. The Greens and the Opportunity Party, 50 grand. So,
So he does. He's on the other side of the divide. Yeah.
But I think you and I were talking about this before we came on air, Craig, that there ought to be a cap.
Well, we brought this up before when they had the broadcasting allocation. And if you're the party with the most seats, you get a good share of that allocation.
So you already start off at an advantage.
Yeah, so if you're getting substantive donations from interesting parties or people who want to influence things, depending on how you argue that, there should be, okay, if you get that amount, I mean, that should offset any allocation in that space.
And obviously, the party is getting less.
Yeah, they
should be topped up a bit to try and equal.
Yeah, it's an equal.
More equal fighting fund.
Yeah, otherwise you'll get parties like National pulling in all their election crap, like they did down at Wairarapa, to influence people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have more opportunity to influence people.
It's how to. You'd think.
It would be. I'm probably a bit naive. It'd be nice if all the political parties, regardless of how many seats, all start off on the same level playing field, and they appeal to the public.
That's what they argued about political donations are state funded as opposed to privately funded.
So all parties start off on a level playing field, and they can get the message out there and do what they've got.
Isn't there 18 members of the trough all getting $1,000 a week for accommodation? They could all put in some money to support their party.
They'd be squealing if it didn't.
Pitching our money.
That's our entitlement.
We worked hard for our money.
Yeah, the poor can pay more, but that rule doesn't apply to it.
Speaking of things poor, now this was alluded to me when I returned back to work about people who are really struggling out there with and this is around power.
Yeah,
I have one person who who refuses to use the heat pump because it costs too much,
yep,
and rather stay warm by staying in bed.
Yep.
I can understand that.
And then I went to visit one of my longer term clients,
yep,
who I've known for must be nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
To do an application.
Yeah.
But she said she just reduces power right down.
Yeah.
Fortunately, her home was nice and warm, and I was able to sit around in a house like this.
Yeah.
But
that's a standard one, is people basically under a blanket.
Well, those same people are going to struggle even more. Yeah, they're talking about introducing the water meters.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah,
that's going to be a tough one. That is.
Yeah, no, but the landlords will suck that up. They won't charge that onto their tenants, will they? Oh, hang on! I can see pigs flying around in the sky. Yeah, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to. This is going ahead on the water meters.
Yeah.
4,000 meters. Combined charge for water and wastewater services, $500 for a new dwelling, $250 for a secondary minor dwelling, a bit like being in a granny flat.
$250.
That'll be a set charge, will it?
Well, yeah, your landlady was charged that to you.
Fifteen-year lifespan for these water meters. The roll has been costed at $155.616 million.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
This is the road to eventual complete privatisation.
You brought it up. They say, "Oh, it's for efficiency and all
and
that."
That's true. But the other half of that equation is, if the water companies find that their customers are conserving their water responsibly, they're not making as much money.
So the price goes up anyway. Yeah,
and it's a con.
Yeah. Well, and will we end up like the UK? Yeah, we're not going to privatise. We need to privatise because it's broken. And then suddenly,
Thames Water is the classic
Thames Water. They don't do their job because they've got to give a return to the shareholders.
Yeah, they don't reinvest in infrastructure. They just pay the shareholders.
Yeah,
that's the important thing.
So this just heralds. So the same people are going to get hammered again.
Yeah.
They're struggling to put food on the table, heat their homes, and now pay for water.
Yeah, because it's part of your rate, so but that's going to be separated out.
That's the argument. In the finishing article, the draft strategy projects the charge will generate $40 million over 10 years, which otherwise would fall to existing rate payers. So they're trying to sell this by saying, we're doing this to save putting your rates up. You've given with one hand, you're taking with the other.
And that's the dangerous one. You can be mean, and you can sit under your blanket, and you can not use your water, and don't have a shower, and all that, and build a bit of body fat around the keep you warm,
and still get stung.
And you'll still, because they'll go, well, actually, the base cost, because let's face it, the base cost of a vehicle is buying it, paying the insurance, everything else, whether you use it. The base cost. Well, if that goes up because there's less of you doing the base costs, they'll have to put the base costs up.
And then it becomes
a slippery slope.
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have all these things like these entities, eh? And if the council, your council's in trouble, they want to sell it off.
Yeah. Well,
that's the danger. The article begins with a headline that is about conserving water.
Yeah. It's
just a con.
Yeah. Council-owned company or COC.
And the worst thing is the people who don't conserve water, who've either got plenty of money or don't care or whatever, then it's the little people who are conserving will still get pinged.
And heaven forbid you end up with a communal tap down the street like they used to have in the UK.
Several, because there were different taps, weren't they?
And then you have typhoid.
Yeah.
Or cholera. Or whatever the nasty stuff that went on at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And on that note,
go the Chiefs.
Go the Chiefs. Yes. You can catch us on our podcast or check out www.freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.